Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Farmers are back at it again, and they look, as they always do each year, for the renewal of creation. It carries the anticipation, this creation, of fruitfulness in the fields. Such a simple thing like the seasons of the year, which follow cycles of death and life, such a simple thing speaks a volume of language of life. Yet this renewal is a standard, you see, that God has set within all of creation, far more than farming out in the fields. Everyone experiences this personally. When we go to sleep, because you're worn out, and so the next day you need to wake up to another day by God's grace renewed with life. Our bodies can go for a while without having to eat much for a time, but eventually they long for refreshment with something to eat and drink, don't they? We see renewal even throughout history as generations rise and fall with good times and bad times, with good generations and not so great generations. Without renewal, there would be no joy in the creation, and certainly no farming, would there? If God provides such newness in life in this fallen world that comes out of Adam and Eve's bad decision that we can't make any different, how much more has Jesus' resurrection brought the greater witness of life? This renewal comes directly from God, and it is His love for those in a sinful world. It holds eternal weight of glory that's not subject to cycles of life, the decay of death that we keep seeing when people die, or what sin spoils. And sin spoils stuff even the back of my refrigerator. All right? It's just getting old and dying. Jesus brings by His name the victory accomplished for all, as we know, by death out of His cross. After Easter, Jesus appeared 40 days to His disciples, and that we don't fully understand because we know this. He did it an awful lot. It wasn't just a one-time thing. So any of you who'd say, well, if I just saw Jesus one time, that'd be good enough. You're a liar. It wouldn't be good enough because Jesus had to appear to His disciples again and again and again during those 40 days. Why? He kept renewing their lives with faith in Him. And this is what Jesus still promises to renew for us today. And as He's done for generations through His word and sacrament, it's a promise for all who believe. This is what Jesus still does, and He does it because it's a call of repentance to let us see that times of refreshing have come by God's grace. So works do fail, and works wear us out, and so we look for refreshment. And Jesus brings that for us. The resurrection of Jesus from death is to renew us. To renew us with perpetual joy in Him. Our gospel reading goes back to the evening of that first Easter. A lot happened that morning to the evening of the first Easter. Their talking was not about life expectancy or about money or worldly matters. It was bigger than that. Jesus had already appeared to two of His disciples and some women, and they were talking about really trying to piece together what His resurrection meant. What did it mean for their lives? Of course, Jesus appeared with the answer of what it meant, with words of an answer of peace in His name. Of course, their reaction was not quite the reaction you'd expect. It was a reaction of fear. And of course, it didn't come from Jesus, though Jesus didn't appear to scare them. But where did it come from? They couldn't see it, but Jesus did, and He told them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Such foolishness had to go. And so God let them touch and see the truth of His faithful presence. Jesus renews our hearts by removing the threat of superstition. Hyper-spirituality is all around today, and the old Adam, that old sinful nature in us, is prone to all kinds of falsity. Plenty of possibilities today exist and attracts many younger people about the afterlife, what good and evil may be, and a lot of mystical stuff to try out, right? St. John warns us very clearly in the text today about the fanciful ways of the sinful nature. Things that kind of stimulate us, but they aren't coming from Jesus. And so he says, little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he, Jesus, is righteous. In other words, those who keep on practicing sin, well, that might be me, Pastor. Well, that isn't quite what this text is saying. That text today was saying those who are living in sin, those who are keeping with the consistent things of wanting to keep it the way it is. And we know a lot of those things happening today and they're not going to change. Well, that's keeping with sin. This isn't just that I'm a sinner, but it's I'm going to just keep doing it. Well, we know that explodes with spirituality today. People messing around with crystals, magic, horoscopes, or whatever entices the appetite. But it doesn't remove the guilt of sin or judgment that stands over us by the law. Only Christ lets us repent of superstitious fear. To hear him say, peace be with you. So rather than getting worried about the horror movie or about the devil and how big he is, it's about fearing the words that Christ faithfully keeps saying to us. Peace to you against all your fear. God's Son seeks to renew us with the truth of forgiveness won. He holds out his sacrifice so that by baptism, we die to have life in his name. I had a baptism up at Trinity yesterday. And that child was pulled out of this world with a new spiritual life. Not the dead spiritual ways of man, not the false religions of this world, but a true faithfulness that has come by the Spirit of Jesus for him. And Jesus lets us touch and see his presence at the Lord's Supper to lift up our hearts. Because whatever else you touch in this world, outside of the sacrament, is death. Even for the good things, it's still dying, right? Even my own flesh, it's decaying. But this sacrament says, touch and see, my kingdom is good for you. Dealing with the deceptions of their hearts was only half the problem, though, right? This joy in Christ was in the end too good to be true, you see. The fear was gone, but now they're kind of like, okay, but this is far beyond, you know, much relevant for our lives. And so after eating with them, Jesus directed their attention to where? The scriptures, the Old Testament. What he had spoken now found its place in the fulfillment of what God always had said. Everything in the Old Testament witnessed to Jesus. Everything of God's saving work from long ago centered on him. Everything about scripture had life in it. Why? Because Jesus gave his stamp of approval of all of them. As he said to the Pharisees, you search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. And Jesus said, it's they that bear witness about me. In other words, for all the astounding things, the flood, crossing the Red Sea, manna from heaven, whatever you want to look at in the Old Testament, the fiery furnace, all that stuff, it's all about Jesus. It was always about Jesus and how God saves us now in the glorious way of his Son. And he still does it. Out of his grace and love. The disciples were to be mindful, to be thinking, not about a new kind of scripture, but to see by faith the one who stood out in them from beginning to end. There was God's faithfulness in his Son. Jesus renews our minds to think freely with God's word. And that's a special gift for you. You might not think so, and you might not know how to do it very, very well, or have the time for it. But the mind finds itself today cluttered with all kinds of things, doesn't it? Some stuff I freely subject myself to, other stuff that is just there in the mall, and I have to hear it, and I don't like it, but it's there. And it's all bombarding our minds. Much of this stands against God and his word. Man is seeking to release himself from old religion and outdated morality. Yet, we know where this is going. It's only slavery in the end that awaits. Because apart from Scripture, None could receive the freedom Jesus gives. There's other kinds of freedoms, but they finally end in slavery. Only Jesus is faithful to say you are free indeed. Even if there are churches with a name on them, without God's word upheld in truth and purity, they become a den of Satan, a place of hell. Peter preaches those words then. Today, repent therefore and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, and that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. How is that presence shown? Jesus presents himself in Scripture to pull us away from the self-centered lives to focus on him. So, indeed, Scripture draws us away from the things that disturb us in this world to see Jesus. Jesus proves from Scripture, rather than bless sin, as we see happening today in so many different avenues of life, the Scriptures show us there is Jesus and what he does. He cures sinners with what? Forgiveness to set them free. And finally, we know Jesus rules by Scripture, for it alone always points to him. And that's good news. You can't find it in the Quran. You can't find it in your textbook for school. You can't find it in whatever else you're looking for. Only in Scripture do you find Jesus. It always points to him and his sacrifice, so that whoever believes in him has eternal life and will be saved. With hearts and minds renewed, Jesus sent his disciples on their way. And they were witnesses of all these things that took place. And it was more than accepting the facts. They knew the facts. Jesus died, and they knew he rose. That's simple. But facing how he would carry out this work in their lives was another thing. Rather than being troubled by their works, though, Jesus gave the better work that would be in their lives. What did he say? Behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. With the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, they would be fully equipped. And so Martin Luther describes it this way. It's as if Jesus would say, I place armor on you that will withstand every shot of the devil in the sinful world. Going forward was with the power, not by the strength of men or how they saw it, but purely by the Spirit of God that alone converts and saves sinners. So much time wasted today, so much worry over how do we change a person? And you say it in the third article of the Apostles' Creed as Lutherans. I cannot by my own reason or strength, what? Come to my Lord Jesus, believe in my Lord Jesus Christ, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me, has sanctified and kept me in the true faith. That means then only Scripture, only Jesus, and only his good Spirit of the gospel draws people to him. And that's it. We are at the mercy of God's love, who indeed desires to save sinners. And Jesus renews our lives for a truly effective witness in this world. If he's done it again for you today to say amen, he will do it for others. Out of his death and resurrection, repentance and forgiveness of sins goes out to the ends of the earth. How special it is in our Missouri Synod Lutheran churches. We don't even realize it, that the majority of churches today don't even mention the word sin. And if you don't mention the word sin, then you're not going to also hear another more important word. What? Forgiveness for sins. How sad. Being clothed with the Spirit then gives us reason to celebrate. Jesus lives among us, as we know, fully by faith in his word and sacrament. The effectiveness. What's the effectiveness? Can you measure it, really? Maybe our works, but works always what? Disappoint, come up short, or end up turning you into prideful people who don't need Jesus. The effectiveness is what? God goes with us. Jesus is making the good witness. His promise to save is in your lives. The church has never been or will ever be built by the rightness of what we see. If that's the case, if our rightness is what stands, we can end up being very wrong. Jesus alone calls forth newness, and he does it by grace, and he gives it to sinners. It happens by his word, rightly working in this world, when and where it pleases him. As we wait upon creation to bring forth life again, as we see the farmers out in the field, so we wait upon the living Jesus. He's the author of life, right? St. Paul said, you killed the author of life, but he's risen, and now he's the author of a whole new kind of life. He promises us to have forgiveness, newness, to guide us, and finally to save us. The world will call this foolish as it runs off to construct dead idols, and they may seem awfully enjoyable, but this is what we know of dead idols. They do not last. Yet what has come out of the cross is life from God's Son for us with joy that has no end. A true victory that not even death can silence, regardless of what we see. What we see today are many Christians dying. But what does God see? Not the same thing. His tears are but for a moment, and his joy, rejoicing is what? Of salvation that cannot be taken away, that does rest purely by faith, so that not even the gates of hell can prevent Jesus to do what he does best, save his precious sheep. Easter tells us Christ has crushed the cycle and established a new standard that has come out of his sacrifice. The resurrection of Jesus from death is to renew us with perpetual joy in him. And so that means good things for us. And that's why at communion, you don't need to have me say amen. Really, it belongs to you to say amen to the God who has served you with joy that has come with the gates of heaven itself and the glory of his sacrifice. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. The resurrection belongs to you because it comes from Jesus for you. Amen.